Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the February 22 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists this week include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County. Let's begin with this question, because on Tuesday of this week, Wayne, there was a pretty good jump in the price of soybeans. Is this something that farmers should, at the time, have taken advantage of, and might they still be able to, for new or old crop?
The answer to that is yes, Todd. I think that if you haven't been aggressively marketing before this, it was definitely time to start. I think this is the numbers we've been looking for a long time. It's the numbers where we can make some money. So I think, yes, some there that way. Can we do it again? Can it go on up? Is the weather going to stay dry in Argentina? Is it going to stay overly wet to keep them from planting more of the second crop in Brazil? And can they maybe have some quality problems along the way? And will China buy more beans to crush to make up for Argentina's shortfall?
So the question here is, if they have not done it at this point, really they're thinking, hey, wait a second, Argentina still looks dry. Is there more to this? And the farmer is the farmer, and they're always optimistic. But my guess is you're thinking, you're getting close to $10, this might be a cash sale you need to make.
Yeah, I think you need to stick to your plan. You know, decent yields and $10 cash beans is profitable. It's a good income in through there. You can simply move the cash beans and do some type of replacement strategy. There's some very good situations you get into to retain some ownership in case later on in June and July we have problems here in the U.S. As far as new crop goes, you can put a price floor in. You can put some strategies on where you can put a price floor in at $10 and basically still leave your upside open. So there's a lot of marketing opportunities here to take advantage of.
And that, of course, was Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. Bill Maris with Strategic Farm Marketing. Have you been selling into this as well?
Yeah, we've been selling into it. There's two reasons, I think, two points, I think, that makes it a good place to make some sales. One is we got up here this week to some resistance points that go back to, in most contracts, either new or old crop, go back to like July of last year. We're back to some of those highs. So I think there's some resistance here. Second reason, I believe, is there's some numbers out this week, you know, 46.5 million metric tons out of Argentina, some really low numbers on production. And if you look at some of their carry-in stocks, they've got a lot of stocks. So I think a lot of this is in the market right now, and that probably doesn't mean it can't get worse. But for the situation we're currently in, I think a lot of that's in the market at this point. So take advantage of it.
So I want to ask a different question. I had talked with Dan Bossi a couple of weeks ago, and he was explaining what he thought the situation in Argentina looked like, and it was twofold at that point, Kurt. One of them was that there was a drought ongoing. The second one was related to bean meal and the number of bushels of beans that they actually have, that they actually have a lot of beans still in country. However, because of the way the tax reform has been done, and they're stepping down every month another half percentage point or something like that. I don't quite remember what it is. That every month their beans are getting higher priced just because of the tax relief. He thought that might take 12 to 18 months. So my question is this: for them to get that tax relief done, and that they might move on, unless, of course, we get a really high price for soybeans at some point. So my question is this: if you are able to hold their crushing down, their bean meal crushing down, how much does that really impact the marketplace because they're not moving their soybeans into their crushing plants? And how much does it impact the marketplace? And can it really, given the total supply of soybeans across the globe, have that long of an impact? And I mean long, not large, but long of an impact on the marketplace.
Well, if you go back 2 years ago, it was a typical situation, bad weather, hot weather in South America, then we had some issues here. Beans ran to $12. So if we have some issues here, we could possibly see some longer interim impact as we get into our growing season. However, though, with the Argentine bean crop, they're expecting 56 million metric tons. There's some estimates clear down to 40 million metric tons. So it's an issue. But you got to remember, it's hot and dry. And what happens here in the U.S., same thing down there, guys just quit selling because they're unsure. So I think over time, as we move down the road, these beans will loosen up. Also, too, Brazilian production is in an upward swing in through here. We're originally looking at 98, 100 million metric tons. Now there's ideas that Brazilian production could be up as high as 116 million metric tons. I've seen some news releases here where Argentine crushers are looking at some Brazilian imports in to take care of that shortfall. There's a lot of moving parts in here, but this is a dream come true for the producer. If you turn the calendar back 2 or 3 months, we wish some disaster somewhere else other here in the U.S. and it's happening.
Wayne Nelson, historically, are there lessons learned from previous droughts in the United States and how you should market and what this means when we're 6 months off, right? So that we're looking at the South American crop as opposed to the U.S. crop. Do we have a higher price prior to harvest, and do we take advantage of those and those kinds of lessons that you might be able to pass along?
I think that you're going to see the fear ahead of time, and then when we actually go to move the product and get it moved around. I think one of the things that's very much thought of right now is if China has excess crushing capacity. We're using our crushing capacity to the max right now. Remember, they don't like us. They're not buying from us because we're going to change all of our trading rules, maybe. But the big thing is if they would hurry up by and go into Vietnam, Thailand, and the areas over there that are going to want the ones that have bought extensively from Argentina ahead of time, we could see this turn around very fast because the beans are available and the crushing capacity lies in Argentina and China.
The other thing that happened this week would be on the corn side, that on Tuesday of this week, higher high, lower low, an outside down trading day. And I know it's just on the daily trade, but does this have much of an impact?
Oh, I think it has an impact. I think the trade's watching the corn market very, very closely. From a fundamental standpoint, I think the corn market has a little bit of a story to tell. It seems like every month that we have a new report from a global standpoint, we reduce the acres some. I was reading an article today on the Parana soybean harvest in Brazil. It's well behind, 20-some percent behind. The second crop corn planting is well behind. So I think that's going to affect the second crop corn out of Brazil, and that's a positive for the corn market. So it has an impact. I mean, I think we could bring our carryout down, but we still have a pretty substantial amount of bushels there and farmer-owned bushels that get sold every time we get a rally here.
Yeah, technically, there's a concern or a need to watch. I don't think it's a major high for the year or anything, but we did make some new highs, close lower. The momentum indicators are starting to roll over in through here, so it suggests the market's a little overheated. But, two, we have month-end coming up. Also, two, option expiration on Friday. So there's several moving parts in here that suggest that we could maybe correct for a while. There is a four-week cycle low due here in the next 2 weeks, and it warrants keeping an eye on some type of correction.
The Agricultural Forum is taking place in Washington, D.C. this week. They did release some numbers on Thursday, those from the chief economist, Joe Hans. What you think of those numbers as they came out for acreage and a season's average cash prices? So acreage expectations now at 90 million and 90 million rather than the 91 and 91 that we had at the end of the calendar year for 2017.
Well, we're seeing the idea that some of the outlying areas are not quite, some of the good ground is going to grow some alternate crops. That's good. I mean, look, sorghum is, and barley have done tremendous in their exports and everything along the way, and they're growing better in a lot of the areas. And we look out west in some of those bad areas, the basis levels have been terrible. So it's good that we're coming down and being realistic with some of these numbers. I think that also that we've looked and seen that they overestimate demand a lot of time on beans for the last four out of the 5 years, I think, underestimate it, and then we do end up selling. But I think that if you look at the prices that they're putting out for their average prices, when you asked us the first question, should we maybe be selling some now? If I look at those prices and I think the government's right,
Well, they just need to go back and work on those prices. Those prices are wrong. They need to be more optimistic here on that. But when you look at the acreage, I think it's pretty well in agreement, 90 million acres both ways. But the trade believes corn acres might be down slightly, but beans have some room to the upside. Overall, the total acres, though, we went from 252 million acres up to 255 million acres of grain production. That's not bullish. Lower prices are supposed to take ground out of production. We're seeing more production in feed grains in general.
I'm not sure we've seen the higher prices bring that acreage back in yet, but I guess a couple of things that I think, and one is on the acreage part of it, just looking at the numbers, going through meeting with farmers over the last month and a half here, I really think that we're probably going to see a higher number of bean acres versus the corn than what the estimates were on the reports today that were let out. So that's another reason probably come in here and be a little bit more friendly to corn and maybe take advantage of these opportunities on the soybeans as far as marketing.
And so if I remember correctly, and I don't have them in front of me, but I believe the season's average cash price from the United States Department of Agriculture as released on Thursday were $4.70 for wheat and $9.25 for soybeans and $3.40 for corn. But when you compare to that to what we have in Chicago and even the season's average cash or the February average cash price for the crop insurance, there's just a big difference there.
Oh, yeah. I think the crop insurance price is going to come in here at a good level, and I've been an advocate of going in and taking advantage of the bushels that you don't have insured. If you're doing an 85% policy, for example, that 15% that you don't have insured, I think as you're getting your insurance price generated here, I think it's a good idea to get that amount of bushels covered. So then you can go to your banker and you can say, this is my worst-case scenario situation, and probably more than that on the soybeans, but I think from a corn standpoint, you at least need to focus on getting that taken care of.
Where do we stand on the crop insurance prices at this point?
$3.94 on the corn and $10.11 on the beans, Todd. So these are very close to last year's numbers, which is great because we thought with the carryover hanging over our head, it might be a lot worse. You know, the one thing is really surprising to all of us is, you know, if we look, the last report is when we started this rally in this beans, and we pushed the bean carry out to the largest number we've seen in years, and it seemed to take off. So there's something about the momentum, there's something underlying this market that we're not all seeing. But the one thing we're not talking about is the dollar. Remember, as the dollar has dropped from, say, 94 down to 88 or so, so there's 6% that we're giving up in price. Basically, or they can buy 6% more with the foreign dollars, whatever that compared to what they were, and they're still paying the same amount of currency like yen or whatever that way, so their pound or whatever. So that is helping us because it is helping the American farmer and it is helping our exports.
Is it that the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve might say this is the case, is thinking that inflation will be the driver in the commodity markets, and is that what's underneath this move in the marketplace?
Well, that's the long-term hope from the bull is to see some inflation. But, you know, inflation is not good because your input costs are going to go up right with it. And everything's just going to escalate. But $15,000 a ground, that's high. But that's one reason maybe to look at going from paper assets to hard commodity assets because inflationary years, the hard commodities gain on paper assets.
In fact, you mentioned $15,000 ground, but of course we've had some sales this week, not that high that I recall, but $13,000 outside of Springfield in the Pleasant Plains area, if I remember correctly. Farmers are still, those land buyers are still paying up for ground.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've heard how bad things are, but you know how does that work? So hopefully the guys are fairly well healed in through here for another year to get through some lower prices if they do happen.
It doesn't bode well for any drop in the cash rent prices. Those have all been pretty much worked into place. But farmers and those interested in investing in farmland clearly think it's still a good investment.
Yeah, I think it's a supply and demand situation. I think we've got a lot of demand for land because of the fact that that's still a very stable, very long-term good return compared to maybe the equities and some other things that, you can look at. So I think interest rates, if we see interest rates going up, which is part of the concern with the inflation and what we've been seeing in the outside markets, I think that may have more effect on the land prices, where we have some alternative investments for investors in land than maybe what the commodity prices have right now long term.
Where do we stand technically in this marketplace for both corn and soybeans?
Well, it depends long term or short term. Long term, we've got some very nice lows in place. If you look at the monthly charts, there's some nice head and shoulder bottoms in place in through here. If you look down the road in through here, if we see corn take out 4.5, you could argue $6, but it'd have to take some type of weather event, and that might be 2 or 3 years away in through here. I believe short term, though, $4 and maybe $4.25, then $4.40 would be technical objectives to look for if we get some bullish momentum. Bean objectives were basically there, 10.05, 10.25, and 10.45 were upside targets that were set clear back last fall to reach for. If the fundamentals continue to be bullish, we can talk higher, but those are good numbers to work with.
I think I'd be irresponsible if I neglected to mention the rainfall across the United States. Farmers have been really beginning to feel, I think, friendly, maybe even bullish sometimes in the marketplace because of the dry weather, because of the drought monitor and the way it was showing what was happening in the U.S. But this week, we've had some big rains and spring is coming.
Yes, if you watch your agrarural weather, why you saw and he kept circling that area in the Arkansas, Missouri, and out in the southwest and around that it, we have. He says it's not yet, but we want to keep watching. Well, he circled it this Thursday and said it was pretty green. I don't think we have to watch quite as close for that. So, yes, I think that basically we're not scared of it. We're going to have good soil moisture coming into spring right now. In fact, a lot of flooding conditions. You know, this week the barge terminals on the Illinois River been closed. I know that a lot of guys were doing sandbags in different places up along the northern Illinois River, and I had water in my basement. So basically along the way, a lot of water, a lot of places, and we're caught up on soil moisture for right now.
Still, we need the word of the winter as it's related to weather. It is?
La Nina.
One more time.
La Nina.
And that is because we have dry weather where?
In South America, thank goodness. What a great place to have it.
So we have the dry weather in Argentina. We have some things happening here in the weather. All of you agree that producers should be taking advantage of both, I think, old and new crop corn sales at this point. Anything else that they should be putting in their back of their mind as they look forward? And I know we have it, you know, a couple of things happening, some more numbers from the USDA probably on Friday morning, and then the end of the month, March that is, we'll have on the 29th the acreage report that's due out.
Yeah, I think as we look forward, one of the things that I think happens when we have a situation like we had last fall, where we come in, we have bigger yields than what people expected to have, and all of a sudden people are behind on their old crop grain marketing. So the focus becomes the nearby corn, and I really think one of the things I've been trying to get across to my clients is whenever you're looking at making sales and looking at this maybe being a, you know, overbought situation, like Kurt said, take advantage of it from a corn standpoint. You can't just look at the nearby. You have to look out further and look out to the new crop and take advantage of getting some stuff on in those higher price months out there, going all the way out to July of 2019 is, you know, at, I think, 420 or somewhere in that area right now.
You know, I was thinking about that because, as most of the listeners know, I have a crop to sell and haven't had one to sell for very many years. And it came to this first time in December that I actually thought I need to make sales, but I couldn't pull the trigger on old and new crop on the same day. It was really difficult for me to do. In fact, I missed that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to do, and that's the reason I bring that up is because I get into that same trap sometimes myself. So it's just a discipline thing. I think you really have to look out and say, okay, we've got opportunities here. What months are we looking at? And make sure that you're aware, at least, of what those prices are out into the summer as well as out into the next fall.
Are there stepping stones that you use in the marketing plans, or just, you know, touchstones that help you tell producers how to go about marketing a crop?
Well, I think one of the things that I've learned to use is some of these contracts that are out there, that if I'm sitting here looking at, let's say, a couple of weeks ago, looking at, boy, if I could get over $4 for December futures, I'd sell some corn. Well, there were some accumulators and things like that that you could get those kind of price levels, and that sometimes makes it a lot more easier to go ahead and make that step and that execute that situation by having something that, you know, allows you to go ahead and do an averaging program or something like that.
Well, in a lot of cases, if it's down here and we think that there's something that we see coming along, but the farmer doesn't want to move something along the way, we'll buy a cheap out-of-the-money call at that point in time, so when it goes up, he's got the courage to go ahead and sell it, because we still got that call sitting there. And we've done that earlier in the season. We bought a lot of 360 July calls back when the market was down, and when the market moves on up here a little bit, well, then the farmers felt safe, you know, marketing some grain whenever the basis level got good. And that's what we played. We played the basis level against that call, and we were still re-owned it with that call. So that's one of the things we're trying to do, because the ethanol plants are going full bore. They're doing tremendous. And when they need corn, they're going to pay for corn. And you got to be willing to say whether the price is cheap or low down here, that I'm willing to take that sale. But you've maybe got a courage call out there that you've got in place, and you can go ahead and market that corn at a good basis.
I think the word's flexibility. You got to stay flexible. The big thing was meeting cash flow needs, preserving working and capital. And as far as old crop, the name of the game in here is to continue to try to push that out the door, but have some type of re-ownership. As far as new crop in here, there's just some excellent opportunities to put some $4 floors, $10 floors in place, but still leave your upside open. The fear is selling too much and seeing the market going higher, but there's some strategies to take that fear out.
As a young buck marketer, I know what I use, generally speaking, just as a monthly look, is each month when the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate comes out, it gives you both sometimes old and new crop, depending on the time of the year, season's average price. And if I'm well above that, that tells me at least that I've got some targets that I need to look at. USDA won't have an official number until we get to May for the new crop, but we do have those new numbers that just dropped out. And gosh, 340 corn, and we're well above that. 925 soybeans, we're well above that. It just seems like these are numbers that you can use.
Yeah, I think that's true, Todd. And I think one of the things that people kind of forget sometimes is that was kind of the task when back in the day, whenever the USDA was assigned, you know, the job of coming up with a supply and demand, was to predict the prices, and they do a pretty good job of it if you go back historically and look at that. So I totally agree. Of course, when they first start, they have a range of prices, and you know, we're probably well above that top end of that range at this point too on corn, at least on the last report that was out there. So I think that's a good measure to take and use as an advantage. If you're wrong, as these guys were saying, there's always some ways to come in and protect yourself. If you're really concerned that you can't make that sale, make it and get yourself protected defensively.
And there is a big difference between that which you have stored on the farm and that which you have stored commercially too.
Yeah, each individual is different too. Those are excellent points you guys brought up too, but we need to keep in mind your own situation, your profitability level, and your own personal cash flow needs. So there's an art and a little bit of a situation where we develop that plan to your individual needs versus as a whole.
So in about a week and a half, we'll be at the All Day Ag Outlook, all three of you there, for the Beef House. Those who want to come still can buy their tickets, willag.org, willag.org. During regular business hours, 800-898-1065. The cost is $30. That includes the Beef House coffee and rolls in the morning. You'll get a Beef House lunch along with that. We'll go all day, a dozen analysts with us. We'll kick off with Eric Snodgrass, as you mentioned, Agrible earlier, to take a look at the weather forecast. Have you begun to think about some of the messages that you're hoping producers We'll hear from you or others at the Beef House and what that might look like. This is sometimes a seminal event, not because it's the Beef House or WILL, but just because of the time of the year. It does surround at some point a change in the marketplace, and these are things over the years, I guess, we've learned historically. So I'm wondering what you're thinking about for that Beef House event.
Well, I think the presentations that are always great. We have a lot of good information, but like a lot of things that you attend, the discussion, you got a lot of people there that are just really enjoy talking the markets and talking about the farming situation and land prices and what's going on. And I know myself, I learn as much talking to individuals in casual conversation in between the programs and that as I do sometimes from the programs, but the programs are always excellent. I think the weather is still going to be an issue. I think people are going to be talking about that. I think the bean corn rotation is going to be a big issue, and I hear about that the last month and a half as I've been out talking with farmers. There are still a lot of them trying to make that decision on where should I go as far as acreage goes, as these prices have changed here in the last 3 weeks. So I think those are several of the things I'd look forward to.
Well, I would be all excited to hear Eric talk about the weather in the morning and see what he thinks the trends are going to be, because he's just been pretty darn good at been calling those. But I'm going to be most excited about trying to figure out and offer two or three options of how you can protect yourself for an up market or a down market or a storage or an on-farm market that way. And that's, I think, what we're going to try to center on. You know, we're going to talk about the other things going on out there, whether NAFTA is going to go through, whether this or that. But we don't know, and we're not part of the bargaining team. But we can tell you, and we're going to give you some good ideas, and maybe some things that you can use for marketing, and give you a few examples. And if you want to try them, they'll be there.
Yeah, I've heard from three or four people, you know, Beef House, the market changes during that time frame. So you were dead on it. That is an indicator, especially if we're trending higher into that meeting, might want to get to where you want to be overall. But oftentimes, a lot of good ideas. Don't sit there and write these ideas down and see if they work or not. Incorporate them into your marketing plan. But I'm gonna listen to what Wayne has to say.
That, of course, is Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. Also joining us for this edition of Commodity Week, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County. Again, buy those tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook at WILLAG.org or 800-898-1065. I'm Todd Gleason.